Blaine and Ellison in the morning. 96.3 WDVD.
Happy Thursday.
Analysis from someone who really cares.
96.3 WDVD.
What's on your mind we'd really like to hear?
Dr. Stephen Craig from Craig Counseling Services in Birmingham joins us this morning. Check him out online, drstephencraig.com. He has the book, The Six Husbands Every Wife Should Have.
And the Seven Dwarves.
And the Seven Dwarves.
That live next door.
That would be so awesome. That would be so cool.
He's like, why did I ever tell him the title of that book?
Why do we change it every week?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. Let's see if we can help out Rebecca today.
Okay. Dear Blaine, Allison, and Dana, my husband and I are having an issue with our 19-year-old daughter. She was supposed to start her second year at Oakland University this fall, but fall is now here, and she has not signed up for any classes. Last year was her first year at school, and she did very poorly both semesters at Oakland. When school ended, she assured us that she was planning to go back this fall and do better. Based upon that plan, we agreed to continue paying for her apartment that she shares with a girlfriend of hers who is attending Oakland. We have currently paid through the first semester. She now tells us that her new plan is to go to art school in New York or Chicago in January. She says she's very excited about this and has finally figured out what she wants to do with her life. According to her, this will all be easy, and she's going to use this semester to get a job and make some money and break up with her boyfriend who doesn't want her to leave. She is asking us to support this plan and was very crushed when we weren't as excited as she was. We were wondering, what is the best thing to do here? Should we be glad that she finally has a plan, or should we be hard on her given her track record? She is a great kid who is good in every other way, but she's also very fragile and we don't want to crush her as she is finding her way. Any suggestions on how to handle this? And this is from Rebecca.
So if you consider yourself a junior psychologist, or maybe you've been through something similar to this, call in and let us know what you would do. What would you suggest to Rebecca? 313-298-9630. What about you?
Well, the parents are sending really bad messages and mixed signals, and the parents are really kind
flippity-floppity.
Well, they're kind of creating this mess because you have what your responsibilities. You guys have an agreement. She's supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing your part and she's not, but you're also not holding her to it. When I went to school, the first year that I was up at Ferris, I did really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And my grades just crashed. So I had to come home fall semester of the next year when all of my friends went back to school. I had to stay home and work and make my own money to pay for my next semester. It turns out they were going to.
Right.
But I didn't get to go back to school with my friends. While everybody else was there, I had to stay home. I had to work, save money, because I thought I was paying for my semester. And they made me responsible for what I did wrong.
Right.
You know, they weren't sending me to school to get bad grades. So that's what they did. And you should have made sure that she registered for classes. That should have been part of the deal before you paid for her apartment. And you should have made sure that she gets, if you're footing the bill, you have the right to ask her to adhere to certain rules, whether she's 19 or 27. You're paying for this.
And
you didn't do that. So
you threw bad money. You really threw bad money after this, because you didn't really, if we just look at it as if it were money or an investment, you didn't do anything to follow that investment, to follow up or anything like that.
And you didn't do her any favors, because if you would have held her feet to the fire, she might have done better.
Uh-huh. And also, I actually, when I first read this, my first response was like, oh my God, no wonder she's doing this. She's playing you like a violin. You're basically giving her the lessons.
Well, she's all over the place. I want to do this and I want to do that and I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm because my heart.
You're not doing your part, which is, as the financiers,
right?
Saying, this is what we're going to do and this is what you have to do. So she's like, I'll do this or I'll do that. Now, mm-hmm, I want to go to New York. All right. Well, you want to go to New York?
We'd all like to do that.
You're going to have to come up with the money.
Boom.
And you can go to New York when you have X amount saved to, you know, and then when you show us that you were serious about your art school, you know, maybe we'll get back involved and pay for your next semester of art school.
Dana, what do you think?
I agree with both of you guys. I also believe that when this is, well, she's fragile. No, she's not fragile. She's playing you on that, too. And you're teaching her that when it gets tough, back away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my grades were bad. Well, you know what? You need to go back and try harder.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you need help in? We'll help you with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, even that, I disagree with that. You're in college. You go out and find the help.
Whatever.
You go out
no,
and
but
seek,
I mean, well,
you know what I mean?
If you have to hire a tutor, we'll help you as long as you find
right.
a tutor.
313-298-9630. Lots of junior psychologists lining up to help Dr. Steve this morning. Pam, what do you think?
I think that they need to give her like a 3 months, say, here, you got 3 months to prove to us that your plan is going to work. If not, you've got to sign up for classes or we cut you off. I had to do that with my son.
Did it work?
Yes, it did. He ended up getting a full-time job. This was a couple of years ago when jobs were almost impossible to get, and he would not even go look. And finally, I said, we told him, you've got, it was the end of the semester, he was bombing. He's like, all right, you've got 3 months to either sign up for more classes, because he wasn't going to for the next semester, or get a job. And he's like, Bob, there are no jobs, okay?
Well,
I want proof that you're at least going. So we made him bring home a business card for every job that he's...
Good, and it all worked out. Pam, thanks for the call. Therapy Thursday on 96.3 WDVD. Jessica, what do you think?
I think that the parents need to give them the courage to do it, along with the student that needs to do it, need to give them the... themselves that determination that shows that they can do it and prove to their parents, like, look, I do want to do this. I just need the time. And take that little piece of the semester off to show them, like, look, I got this job. I'm getting the money for it. Show me the determination.
I don't agree. You should have that determination to begin with. You enrolled in school.
Right.
You had a responsibility. So live up to your responsibility from the get-go. Why does it have to kick in 6 months later? I don't get that.
I'm not saying it's taking them 6 months. I'm saying in their mind, they have to give them that determination. In their mind, they need the determination or they're not going to do it. And if they don't have the determination, it's not going to work out. That's where the courage from the parents come in. The parents have to give them that courage to do it.
So how do they give them the courage?
Yeah, how do they give them the courage?
By helping them, showing them, like, look, you can do this. Look what you've overcome already.
Jessica, don't you think they did that in the entire
like the
first year of college?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how their first year of college went.
It went really bad.
She failed.
She failed the first year of college. She did really bad.
Well, what you need to show them is, like, you know you can pass it, so go back and do it.
She went through high school.
She won't even register for classes right now.
She wouldn't register. Why wouldn't she do that? Does she want to go to school? Does she want to make something of herself?
I don't know.
She's all over the place. That's the thing. Yep. She's all over the place. She's not doing any of the stuff she's supposed to be doing. And then when her parents get on her, then she gets some flighty plan that all of a sudden this is what she wants to do. So my personal thing is when parents aren't firm with their kids, they're going to...
This is what you get.
Rebecca's kind of getting what she
Absolutely.
Deserves.
I completely agree.
And if you want this to change, then you, as the purse holder, start making the changes.
I don't know if I want to take any more calls.
Because you can't take it.
I can't, that one almost killed me. That one, really? We have to. They've been raising her for 19 years.
I want to address a couple things, whether you want to take these calls or not. For instance, I want to address what Amy says. Amy says, you can't force a kid to go to school. Okay. That's fine. After college, after high school, legally, they don't have to go to school.
Right.
You should go to college, though, but that's fine. You can't force them to. But you, what you can do is not pay for them to suck at college.
Thank you.
So don't go to school if you don't want to. But if you are and I'm paying for it, this is how it's going to go down. Whether, like I said, whether you're 19
Preach
or
on.
27.
Preach on, sister.
If this is my money
Thank
that
you.
I'm spending, this is how it's going to go.
I am going to hug you right now.
No.
I know. It might mess up your hair, but listen, I'm telling you that is... I'm going to grab this one just because I liked it. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hi,
what do Stephanie. Young people need?
Well, you know what? They need the emotional support. And this is coming from someone. I'm in my 40s now. I'm a successful woman. But when I was young, I went to college at 17, just like most students do, not because I knew what I wanted to do and I wanted to get an education to do it, but because that's what you do. You go to college.
Mm-hmm.
My parents paid for it for 3 years. I dropped out and moved to California to work in the film business. And they were emotionally supportive, but not financially supportive at
okay.
that point. But they had paid for 3 years of college that they felt was wasted.
So how do they be emotionally supportive now?
Well, you know, they said, well, you know, we're behind you, whatever you decide to do. But long story short, I did go back to school. I did go on and get a PhD.
Wow.
And now I teach these university students. And I love telling my Michigan State students that I'm a Michigan State dropout. I dropped out.
But you came back.
I came back because I knew at that point what I wanted to do. I won't let my son's 10, but I won't let him go right from high school to college. I don't think that an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old is mature enough to really decide at that point what they want
to do. In some cases, that might be true.
But what I don't understand is, how are you going to give the emotional support? So, you know, if you had this email, here she is, and you're just saying, give her emotional support. What does that look like? We buy that at the store? I don't understand. You know, this emailer is looking for, what do you do? And you can't just say, give emotional support. We're going to hug her?
No, but you can say to her, we are really proud of you that you decided to go to art school, and I think that you'll really succeed at that, and we're here if you need us.
It sounds like
you're paying your own way.
Yeah,
thank you. Okay, good.
But it sounds like I also think, Stephanie, a lot of coddling isn't a good thing. I think if you don't send firm, direct messages to your kids about towing a line,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get kids that don't ever, in your case, you did figure it out. In some cases, if you're just like, do what you want, I'll just keep paying for it. They may never have, they're not forced to find a direction, you know?
Right. No, that's true. But I also think that there are ways of being, you know, my parents made it very clear that they were disappointed that they'd spent, you know, quite a lot of money on
right.
me being away at school for 3 years and I dropped out. But they also said, you know, we're proud of you for having the nerve, the courage to move across the country by yourself, not
right.
knowing anybody, and make a go of it. And I did make a go of it. I worked in film industry for 3 years.
Yeah,
and
right.
it was fantastic. But then, you know, when I said to them, okay, I'm done with this, I'm going to go back to school, they said, okay, well, you know, here are the loan applications.
Yeah, go for it. Knock yourself out.
Yeah,
Stephanie,
and I'm not
thanks.
Anti the art school. I think a lot of people think that we're saying, you've screwed up so much now, we don't support art school. I do support art school, and maybe it did dawn on you in the second year.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't do so good in my first year is because that's not really what I wanted to do, but now I get it. Now it's art school.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the parents are wrong to say, okay, but you can't blame us for saying, we're going to need to see a little bit of proof.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think this doesn't happen if they're consistently having her toe a
and
line.
I don't think that they were.
From day one. And I'm talking when you're 2, 3 years old.
Yeah.
These are expectations that we have of you. If you don't meet them, here are the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dr. Steve, let's say this mom's in your office. Good luck.
Well, this actually is a common story. But the way I would look at it is that we have to start from the fact that there's a giant difference between plans, or I should say, between planning
mm-hmm.
and plans.
Okay.
And that's the problem here, is that this girl is talking about all the planning that she wants to do, but there's no plans here. And you can't support planning. So that's where you fall into you fall prey to the planning trap,
right.
I will call it.
Oh, I'm making a plan.
Right. That's not a plan.
Right.
So, but the first point we have to realize is that as a parent, sometimes you have to be tough and sometimes you have to be supportive. But the problem is figuring out when to be which.
Mm-hmm.
And often people always say, well, I'm tough. And then the problem with being tough is that it's right half the time. And then the other time it's like, you know, using a hammer to, you know, to fly, what is it, a hammer to put
the elephant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the whatever.
Yeah.
Kill
the
ant. But we can in this situation be both tough and supportive at the same time, if we really break it down to its basic components. So what I would teach this mom to say if she were in my office is to be thrilled. We're thrilled that you have decided what you want to do with your life. This is great. We couldn't be happier for you that you now are planning,
mm-hmm.
good word to use, planning to do what you want to do.
Okay.
And we're eager to help you whenever your planning becomes a reality. But right now, where you are is miles away from actual plans. Because there's a, you know, difference between planning and plans is the difference between thoughts and action.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, these are just thoughts. So what I would say is, I would break it down. So, for example, if you're planning to get a job and save money, great. But the difference between planning to get a job and actually having the job and then going to the job and then saving money, that's months of time.
Right.
If that's what you want to do by January, you're already behind because it's only planning. A plan, you'd actually have the job right now.
Do you think that the parents kind of fed into this, though?
Well, I think the parents feed into it like many of us do because we fall prey to the planning trap, which is that if somebody says, I'm planning on losing weight, oh, here, we'll give you money for the gym.
Right.
Or I'm planning on doing, you know, writing a book. You know, I get this all the time. You wrote a book, Steve, you know.
Yeah.
I'm planning on writing a book. Okay, well, the difference between planning on writing one and writing one is huge.
Yeah, worlds apart.
I'm happy that you're planning on writing one, but it's worlds apart. So I think the parents all along, as many of us do, because they're our kids, we get excited when somebody, so like even this
gives you
this
just
girl,
a glimpse of positive.
She's so excited. Yeah. I finally figured out what I'm going to do. Great. But that's just planning.
Right.
I will support all the plans in the world, but let's make a difference between planning and plans. Because we as your parents, as someone was saying, that's why I kept asking, emotionally supportive to me is not just saying, hooray.
Right.
It's saying, great. We're going to teach you the difference between planning and plans, and we are on board for plans.
Right.
Can we help? What can we do?
You can talk the talk all you want, but you got to walk it.
Right.
You got to live that plan.
I mean, think of all
execute
the things.
It.
Like we said, write a book, lose weight. You know, even this whole political process that's going on now
right.
is all planning.
Yeah.
What I'll do when I'm president, I'm planning to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we all jump on board anybody. They aren't plans. We need to know real plans to get on board anything. And so, like when you say with these parents, it's hard to just be tough on the girl because she's eager, she's got something excited. But if you don't break it down, then you just get sucked in. Because what will happen is if she has no concrete plans, January come, we're in the same boat again.
Mm-hmm. And now we're pushing this back another 6 months.
It's your job to teach her the difference between planning and plans.
You can check him out online, drstephencraig.com. Dr. Steve and Therapy Thursday on 96.3 WDVD.
Blaine and Allison in the morning, 96.3 WDVD.